Blog Talk Radio.
So tonight's discussion is about Proverbs 26.
And all, I believe, this month, you guys have been diving into Proverbs. I spoke before on another Proverbs, and this one was very interesting to me. And it Proverbs reminds me, the whole book of Proverbs remind me of parameters. And what are parameters? Parameters are the limited boundaries that define a scope for a particular process or activity. And as we walk this Christian walk, as we live, and as we are representatives of Him, His ambassadors, living epistles, as the Bible says, as we represent Christ, we have some parameters that Christians should walk in. And Solomon wrote those down, and these are the parameters in which we are able to access the promises of God. These are the parameters that have been set to protect us, to keep us from seen and unseen danger when we abide and respect the parameters. So as I said, parameters were designed to protect us. It is in the parameters we practice the principles of God, which produces the promise. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
It is in the parameters that we practice the principles of God is in our lives. Sometimes we want to move around the parameters. We want to do everything and still expect the promises of God. No, not so. We can't keep letting ignorance be our, as they say, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance can't keep us confined and limit our potential to achieve all that God has for us. We have to operate in these parameters. Being ignorant of the parameters will lead to problems, mm-hmm. not promises. It'll lead to problems, and we will suffer the consequences of our ignorance. So let's dive into Proverbs 26. Broke it into two sections. One section talks about the fool and the sluggard. The other section talks about wise persons, how they avoid sinful speech. So let's dive into part A, the first part, for the fool and the sluggard. It's 27 verses on here, so I'm going to try to compact them so that we can get through the whole chapter as the Lord sees fit. Amen?
Amen.
So let's dive into the first one, which was very interesting. I love the way Solomon crafts this. He starts out with verse 1, as snow is in summer and rain is the harvest, so is honor not fitting for a fool. Snow in the summer, and rain will destroy a harvest. In those times, the harvest was grain, and if it rained, it destroyed the grain. There was now no profit. There was no commodity. There was no business. There was no eating. It destroyed the harvest. So is honor befitting a fool. Who honors a fool? Now, here in our society today, we do that. TikTok honors fools. Facebook honors fools. Instagram honors fools. Those that are out there doing stupid and foolish stuff, they get all the likes. They get all the views. And giving them honor is just as bad as snow coming down in the summer. In Chicago, when it's hot, it's hot. There ain't no snow going to handle and last in the summertime. So honor is not befitting a fool. It cannot happen. It will lead to disaster. It'll either be disaster on their part or disaster on the people that are watching, thinking that this behavior is allowable, thinking that this behavior is befitting and we can duplicate that. I can get the same rights as I tried. Well, you try the same thing that they did, it may end up taking your life. So giving honor to a fool, you got to be careful in doing that. That's stupid. That's worthless. It's just as worthless as snow coming down in the winter. Then in verse 2 it says, flattering sparrow and like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. And I was like, what does alight mean? That means when a bird is flying and when they have a destination, they are in space, they are going, they're not coming down to see what you're doing and then going back up. The bird continues to fly until it reaches destination and then it settles. So that's what alight means. And here I was like, well, why would he talk about curses? What's the deal with curses and things of that nature? Pretty much all he's saying is if there's no cause to what is being said, it's not going to benefit. It's not going to benefit. It's not going to produce. It's not going to come nigh you. The Bible says that we have power over the enemy and nothing shall by any means harm us. Those word curses and people saying negative things about me, that cannot harm me. It will not settle to me because it's without cause. You just spitting out words out your mouth. It's not fruitful. It's not to produce anything. You're just spitting out words out your mouth. Verses 3 through 6 deals with dealing with fools. And here is how it talks about dealing with fools. It says, a whip for a horse, a bridle for the donkey, a rod for a fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be wise in his own eyes. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. That's a lot. That's a lot of warning. That's a lot of warning. And pretty much what he was saying here in verses 3, that these things are necessary to train a horse. You need a whip. You need a bridle in a donkey's mouth to make him go the way you want him to go. So correction is needed for a fool. In order for a fool to understand, they have to have some correction. I have 3 children. I'm not sure if any one of them is on the line today, but I have 3 children. And with my son, he was going through a little rough patch when he was in grammar school. And he thought he was just going to be going out there, doing whatever he wanted to do, trying to do the gang-banging thing. And I was like, oh, not so. We had to put the rod on that boy to show him that you either going to confine to this. You're not understanding me telling you, no, don't do this. No, don't do that. No, don't hang out with them. Now I'm going to have to help you to understand. My granny used to say a hard head makes a soft butt. Now I'm going to have to help you to understand so that you can govern yourself accordingly and make the right friend. And after a couple of those intimate meetings with the belt and his dad, he finally got his act together. But it took a rod. It took some lashing to do that. Just letting him figure it out. God only knows where he would have ended up. So steering the rod, the Bible says that steer the rod is for the child. Now, everybody don't condone abuse. I'm not condoning abuse. You do what's necessary for your household. I did what was necessary for mine. Amen, somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm not condoning abuse, but I'm just saying you do what's necessary for your household. And a lot of us think that it's okay to just provide and give to our kids and not discipline. You're raising monsters. You're raising monsters. I'm going to get off my soapbox and keep on going. So here the Bible says that just like the donkey and the horse need to be trained, a fool, a rod is for a fool's back. And then he goes on to say, don't answer a fool the same way that they answer you. That means that you have diminished yourself. You have now become the fool. You don't interact with a fool. When I was doing my research on this, I did put it in here. It's a story in the Bible with Jeremiah, and I know I'm not going to say this man's name right. I think it's Hanina. Hanina was a prophet, and he was prophesying and saying stuff all off the wall, if I may paraphrase. And Jeremiah was like, no, I'm not even going to address that. This is the prophet, when the word comes to pass and it happens, you will know who the real prophet is. Hananiah went and grabbed the yoke off of his neck. He got ignorant. He wanted to fight and cuss. And Jeremiah looked at him in verse 28 and 11. You can read it for yourself. He looked at him, and then he walked away. He did not even acknowledge. That's okay. God will deal with you. I don't have to lower myself or abase myself to entertain you or to combat with you. I don't have to do those things. What I am going to do is remain. I'm going to stay saved. This is what they say. I'm not going to start cussing. I'm going to stay saved. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to conform and yield to what you're trying to entice me to. So that's what the Bible was saying here. Solomon was saying, don't answer fool according to his folly because he thinks he's wise in his own eyes. And don't you send a message by a fool. Anybody ever told somebody something, and then by the time it got back to you, the message was all messed up? All messed up. That's what happens when you give a message to a fool. It's just like cutting off your own feet. And what does it mean when he's saying cutting off your own feet? Feet was a mode of transportation. Feet was a mode of progression. Feet was a mode of movement. So if you're trusting a fool to deliver your messages, you're really making yourself become paralyzed, become stagnant. You're really putting your faith and your hope in water. It doesn't hold anything. It's fluid. It doesn't hold anything. So here he's saying, don't do those things. Look at these parameters. You want to be successful in life? Don't do these things. Then we're going to talk about the nature of a fool, verses 7 through 12. I'm going to group all that together. Like legs of a lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes through the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. The great God who forms everything gives to the fool his hire and the transgressor his hire. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is no hope. There is more hope for a fool than for him. This is a lot, but this is the nature of a fool. Verse 27 says, the legs of a lame man are limp and useless. In this proverb, he's saying words that's in a fool's mouth is just like legs on a lame man. If you don't know how to use them, you got to learn how to walk. It's just plain useless. The same thing he says with a man, that the purpose of putting a stone into a sling is to throw it, is to release it, is to cast it. But when you bind a stone to a sling, that means that they took time to tie the stone and make sure the stone is secure inside the sling. It defeats the purpose. Trusting the words that come out of a fool's mouth defeats the purpose. What was the purpose of the conversation? What was the purpose of the engagement? If you are trusting, listening to the words that come out of the mouth of a fool, and you know the character of a fool, you know a fool, all of us can raise our hand and say, I know a fool when I see one. They may look beautiful and dressed to the nines, smelling good and everything, but as soon as they open their mouth, you know that that's a fool. You know that that's a fool. So why would you even, it defeats the purpose. The purpose of a sling, think about David when he was using that five smooth stones and he used that one stone in that sling to hit Goliath in the head and knock him out. What would have happened if David had tied that stone to the sling and then tried to release it? Nothing. It profits nothing. So the same way as listening to the words of a fool is a drunkard with a hand in thorns. Now, in the biblical days, if you drunk and you falling all out and running around and you just got sloppy drunk, if you hit your hand on some thorns, you're going to feel it, and you immediately are going to try to pull it out. But a drunkard, it didn't resonate as fast. It's something with the receptors that have been intercepted that the pain from that thorn doesn't resonate to the brain that, oh, it's something in my hand that shouldn't be there. So they keep moving. They keep working. They keep moving. And the thorn penetrates deeper. Now it's to the point where it's causing poison. It's more than just pulling the thorn out. Now you got a whole leak. You bleed it. You got a scab. The same way is trusting a parable that comes out of a fool's mouth. It is misapplied and it's distorted, just like that thorn that's in the hand. There's nothing that can be done with it. It profits nothing. In verse 10, it says that, the great God who formed everything is a fool his hire and a transgressor his hire. Yeah, God formed everything. God is sovereign. Everything exists because of him, and you will get your reward based on your decision. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you choose to operate as a fool, you will reap the reward. My grandmother used to say, for every action, there's a consequence. Whether good or bad, you did it, there's a consequence. So these fools and these transgressors, they're going to get their wage, they're going to get their hire, they're going to get what they're worth. And then the last part of that verse was talking about the dog that returned to his vomit. And so does a fool return to his folly. It's a poor dog that returns to his vomit. And back in biblical days, dogs weren't taken care of like we do today. I have a pet. and Stormy would not go back and eat his vomit. He got food in his bowl, so he has options. But a hungry dog that throws up because there's nothing else to eat, they will return to their vomit and eat it because they are starving. Starvation will make you do some crazy things. So will a fool return to his folly because he has not been reprimanded. He has not been corrected. So he's going to keep doing those repulsive and disgusting things. He's going to keep doing it. Peter even said it in 2 Peter 2:22. He said the same thing. They will return to their immoral behaviors and keep doing it until they are reverted. In 2 Peter 2:22, he was talking about people that proclaim to be saved, but are really not, and they acting sheep in wolves clothing. You're going to show some signs. You're going to start slipping back into your old ways, and it's going to be revealed. You're going to return to what you were just pulled from, out of darkness into the marvelous light. But those that perpetrate never left the darkness, and it will show. Then verse 12 says, do you see a man who's wise in his own eye? There is more hope for a fool than there is for him. And this is somebody that's conceited, that thinks they know everything. Anybody know people like that? That think they know everything, that they always have to answer. You can never tell them anything. These people are conceited. And they're above correction. They're above instruction. They're above rebuke. They're hopeless because they will not be corrected. They're ignorant. They are an ignorant fool, and what they're going to do is end up in destruction. Plain and simple. Verses 13 to 16 talks about the nature of a lazy man. The lazy man says, there's a lion on the road. A fierce lion is in the street. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl, weary. It wearies him to bring it back forth to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men who can answer sensibly. So here we're talking about this lazy man, and I'm just thinking about somebody that is so just don't want to do nothing. He doesn't, even the thought of work just causes heartache. And all he want to do is lay in his bed and go to sleep. As you think about a door opening and closing and how many times it opens and closes, that's all they do is turn in their bed. Turn over one way, turn over the other way. Lay on your back, now I'm on the front. Keep turning. Just as the door swings open, the most work they're going to do is to turn over. They're so lazy that when it gets time to eat, and in those days they didn't have plates and forks and spoons and seats. We just put the food on the table and you reach in and grab with your hand. He's so lazy that when it's time to eat, he don't even feel like reaching to get the food so he can put it in his mouth for substance. That causes him problems. I wish I had somebody to feed me. This is just pure disgusting. This is not the way it should be. The Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. You have to be, and they think that they know it all. Again, they think that they're wise in their own eyes, and the way they do things is the best and only way. Nobody else can have an answer for them. These types of people exist today. These types of people that want it served to them on a platter, that used to this instant microwave solutions, and why do I have to abide to the parameters? Why do I have to abide to the principles? Can't you just cut it and move it around and make a way for me? I am who I am. You can open the door for me. But we have to put some work in. You got to put some skin in the game. Any questions or comments as we move it forward? I know I'm kind of speeding through it. I want to get through these things, okay? Keep moving. So now we talked about the sluggard and the lazy. Now let's talk about speech. Let's talk about speech. And what we say probably, what we don't realize is that what we say probably affects people more than our actions. What we say probably affects people more than the actions we take. If we were to survey the whole book of Proverbs and look at all of the scriptures that were related to speech, You can put it into four buckets. I'm going to tell you these four buckets. The first bucket is called the controlled tongue. Those are people, those are speech patterns where people think before they speak. They know when silence is best, and they know when to give advice. That's that controlled tongue. I'm not just going to shoot it off, but I know when to speak, and I know when to give advice. I know how to think before I speak, before I react. I know how to do that. That's the controlled tongue. The next one is the caring tongue. These are people with speech patterns that are usually seeking to encourage somebody. You can make it. You can get past this trouble. You can do it. I believe that there's greatness in you. I tell my all of my kids that there's greatness in you. Mommy didn't birth no mediocre babies. My babies are great. There is greatness on the inside of you. That's that encouraging, that caring tongue. Then you got this conniving tongue. That's the tongue that has the speech patterns that are filled with wrong motives, gossip, slander, desiring to twist the truth to make it good and beneficial for them. That's that conniving tongue. And then the last tongue is that careless tongue. And those are the tongues that are filled with lies and cursing, quick-tempered, and they lead to rebellion and destruction. If you look at Proverbs and classify all of the scriptures, and I have them, I'm not going to read all those, but if you classify all of the scriptures and the verses that are talking about the tongue and speech, you can put them in those four buckets. The controlled tongue, the caring tongue, the conniving tongue, and the careless tongue, talking about in Proverbs 26 when we talk about tongues. And verse 17 is talking about the wisdom of not interfering in disputes of others. I think that's just common sense. The verse says, he who passes by a metal in the quarrel is not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ear. Pretty much what he's saying is, if you're jumping in other people's business, my apostle told us about a story he had with some of the members on our team. And they were looking at people were arguing. And the prophet said, that is not our business. Let's go. That is not our business. Let's go. That's what this verse is saying. Getting involved in somebody that's arguing is like taking a dog by the ears. Now, I have never done that, never thought to take a dog by the ears. I'm assuming that that means trouble, that dog's going to bite you, trying to get away. I got a shih tzu. Stormy don't like me to touch his ears. I can rub his belly, his head, his back. When you go to his ears, he gets to wiggle it. So grabbing a dog by his ears, I'm assuming, is the wrong thing to do. Just like jumping into somebody's argument. You might, in the words of my kids, you might come up leaking. My auntie did that. I don't know if she's on the line, but my brother and my cousin, when they were teenagers, they were fighting. They were in a big argument. And my uncle saw them fighting. My auntie going to jump up and she's going to get in the middle and call the left. Nip was swole. She's like, oh, y'all didn't get me. And Uncle Jordan's like, well, they shouldn't have got involved. You should have let them finish and then deal with it. That's just like taking a dog by the ears. You don't want to do that. Verse 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is one who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Who does that? A madman who's throwing all these innuendos and saying things and doing stuff to spike up anger and to spike up stress, and then to come back and say, oh, I was just joking. I was just kidding. Who can do that? Who does that? That's what a fool does with his tongue. You are leaping all of these words and then only to say, I'm just kidding. Don't you know that there's power of life and death in your tongue and you will eat the fruit thereof? We cannot do that. We cannot engage like that. Verses 20 through 22, it says that where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As coal is to the burning coal, as charcoal is to the burning coal and wood to the fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer is like tasty truffles, and they go down into the innermost body. The dangerous words of a tattle teller, a gossiper. Verses 20 and 21, it's talking about how fuel feeds the fire. I've never been one to be able to light my grill. Like, when I want to grill, when I was married, my husband did. He was the one that set the grill up. I took care of the fat. He did the grill and the meat. I took care of all the fat. Now that I am single, I call my son over. Son, I need you to light the grill, because I tried to light it and almost set the garage on fire. That's not something I want to do. Fuel and gossip fuels trouble. That's what he's talking about, that childbearer. Gossip fuels trouble. If gossip could spread as fast as, like, if prayer could spread like gossip, let me say that again. If prayer could spread like gossip, what type of world will we live in? Said a gossiper as you pray. People will come and want to say things to me, and I'm like, what we're going to do right now is pray for her. What we're going to do right now is pray for him. We're not going to spread the gossip. We're not going to say, girl, did you hear? Did you hear what happened? No, that's what fuels fire. Gossip feeds trouble. It just continues on and continues on. There was in my studies, I saw in one of my commentaries, and I want to read this. They took an excerpt from an Atlanta Journal, and this is what it said. I'm more deadly than a screaming shell of Ozark. I don't know what that is. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth. I no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are numerous. As the sands on the, I never forget and seldom forgive. My name is gossip. Mm-hmm. That a hit right there. Mm-hmm. My name is gossip. And that is exactly what gossip does. Right. And here we don't want to do that. We don't want to, if we stay in the parameters, if gossip hits your doorstep, we don't have to entertain it. To stop the gossip is just to say, no, thank you. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be a part of that. Because what you are doing is tearing down the individual. And because you participated and shared it, you just put another knife in their back. You just killed your brother with your words because you are sharing this gossip. Let's not gossip. Let's pray. Verses 26. I'm going to get through. Verse 23. Fair words covering a fool's heart. That's what we're going to talk about. 23, 20 of the wicked heart are like earthen worms covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays upon deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are 7 abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Now that right there, if that is not words of warning, that is not words of warning. The fervent lips of the wicked heart are like earthenware covered in silver dross. So earthenware is like clay dishes that they used to make together to eat out of. Silver draws it to make it look like it's silver. You might think that, I done found a piece of silver. I done found a coin. You ever was found a coin and thought it was a quarter, but it really was a pop bottle top? That's the same correlation. It's fervent lips of the wicked heart. That means that they're diligent with this. They're deceitful. They're manipulative with their words. And they cover those words up that profits nothing, but they put it in a package to make it look like it's profitable. They put it in a package to make you think that you need to hear from them. They dress it up so nicely to make it seem like you got to hear this. You got to hear this because this is going to help you. And then the Bible says, he who hates disguises it with his lips. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's desperately wicked. And he who hates, you're hating in your heart, but you're disguising it with your lips. What's that? just those people that smile in your face and at the phone, smiling faces, but stab you in your back. They tell lies, smiling in your face, and all the while they trying to figure out your demise. They're saying they got your back, but really they don't. We have to be mindful of those types of individuals. He lays up the seats within him. That means that they are calculating. They are putting together. They are thinking about it. They're meditating on it. They're rehearsing it. It has gotten to their heart. So is the heart, the mouth speaks. It is now flowing, but they're disguising it to make you think like it's love, to make you think that I got your back, I'm here for you. And really, they're just trying to figure out your goods and how they can take it and take your place.
Amen.
That's why we have discernment and exercise discernment. I tell my daughters all the time, and my son, watch who you put that label friend on. Y'all real free with that word, friend. That's my friend. You real free with that word. But to be a friend is someone that's a confidant. Someone that is willing to go into the deep, into the dirt with you. Someone that is willing to tell you the truth, even though you don't want to hear it. Someone that is willing to genuinely and authentically celebrate the real person who you are. You don't have to false flag. You don't have to hide. You don't have to pretend who you are. You can be authentically you, and they accept you. That's a friend. Some of these people are.
Yes.
And you have to be able to discern that, because everybody's lips and every word that's coming off their lips are not always beneficial. They're not always looking for you to succeed. They're trying to figure out how to bring you down, misery loves company, how to bring you down and how to take your place, how to make you forfeit the things that God has in store for you, because you're listening to the words of people that don't have your end in mind. They know that you're gifted. They know that you are talented. They know that you can do this. You're blessed in this area, so I need them. They a tag player. They got good jobs. I need them in my church. So I'm going to put words in them, in their head, to make them think that you're going to get fed better over here. Baby, you better stay where your DNA is and grow and learn and become all that God has called you to be. The church, you don't figure out your church. Your church figured you. Your church called you. It's something on the inside of you that connects to that church, and then it explodes. It ignites for something on the inside, that earthen vessel that God has on the inside of you. And now you can use it for God's glory. He will get the glory. It ain't about man.
Right.
So you got to be careful with those fervent lips that want to say things to you that will lead to defeat, that will lead to you being destroyed, that will lead for you forfeiting what God has for you, operating in distraction, operating in dysfunction because of words that you thought your friend said. I thought they had my back. No, the devil is a liar. Mm-hmm. He will give us discernment. Holy Spirit will speak and be like, no. You ever been in a place where you know you didn't want to go, you go, and when you get in there, it's like, I got to go. I have to leave. I can't stay here. This is not where I'm supposed to be. And then something happens there, or something jump off there, and you're like, oh, I'm so glad I listened to the Holy Spirit. I used to say, I'm so glad I listened to my first man. No, I'm so glad I listened to the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm glad I am. I'm glad I listened to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here, this is, I don't know why Holy Spirit got me harping in on this. Somebody on this line needs to guard their ear gate. Somebody needs to guard their ear gate. You are open for everything. I heard a pastor say, you prostituting for a word. Every itching ear, every word that sounds good, you ready to run off with it. This is the church I want to be at. They expect me, baby. The same problems that you had at church A, them problems are coming with you because they're your problems. They're going to manifest in church B. And now you move on to church C and you say, I got church hope. No, that's your problem. It's some things and decisions that you got on the inside of you that you're choosing not to address. And because of that, you're flowing wherever it sounds good. The devil is a liar. We don't have a haughty spirit. Get planted somewhere. Get in the word of God and become what God has called you to be, because somebody is waiting on your yes. While you filtering around trying to find which best works for me, what works for him? What does he want you? He will lead you. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you have to be able to exercise discernment as you are hearing these things, because they're going to talk. They're going to talk. The wicked ain't going nowhere. where they're on their job. Satan is on his job to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said that I come that you may have life and have that more abundantly. So that means that my sheep hear my voice, and a strange one they will not follow. Come on, somebody.
Right.
So we're going to have to be mindful of the words that we allow to entertain and get into our ear gates that are sending us and misleading us, because these words are coming from a deceitful place, coming from the hate that's in their heart. That's a strong word, hate, the hatred that's in their heart. Just like God hates seeing this hatred for whatever it is that you have that they want. This hatred is being disguised. My grandmother used to, when we were kids, and we knew that whenever she made, and I hate this food to today, liver, rice, and gravy, that we was getting cod liver oil. We knew that that medicine would come. If liver, rice, and gravy day, we getting cod liver oil. Wasn't no disguising it. You gonna take this cod liver oil. We knew we was just gonna have to eat that once a month. And the dog couldn't be in the kitchen because we would pass him a lot of liver. Yeah, eat this. But we knew that that was coming. She wasn't disguising it. It's liver, rice, and gravy today. Come get this medicine. That kept us from being sick. Maybe I should have instituted that with my keeper. But not this. Is the people that are deceitful, they try to hide it. They try to disguise it. They try to mix it up. Is he going to mix the cod liver up all in our spray? Nah. He gave it to us straight up. That's the way you're going to take it. So in verses 27 through 28, and then I'm done after that because that's the end. It says, whoever digs a pit falls into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it rolled back on him. A lion's tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. And here the word is pretty clear. Pretty clear. You dig a ditch, you're going to fall in. You set up the demise for others. Rolling the stone will have a stone roll back on them. That's the way they seal the graves and the tombs. They will roll a stone in front of it. You roll a stone, it's going to come back to you. I believe in the law of reciprocity. What you put out is what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
That's why whatever I endeavor to do, I try to give it 100%. I don't want to waste my time. I cannot get my time back. The time I'm spending with you guys, I can't get that back. So I'm going to pour as much as God has given me and prepare to be able to do what I have been assigned to do. So when you are digging ditches, trying to set somebody else up, be careful. Be careful. I'm like Paul. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do not do this. Stay within the parameters. Let's encourage our brothers and sisters. Let's encourage them to go out and be all that they were called to be, that they can face their fears, that they will do the things that God has called them to be, that they will exercise the gifts and the blessings and the things that God has placed on the inside of them so their gifts will make room for them. Let's encourage one another. Let's not put our tongues on one another, because a lion's tongue hates those who is crushed by it. You will feel the effects of a lying tongue because it's out there, and a flattering mouth will work ruin. You're going to feel the effects of those things, but we don't have to be the ones doing it. That's my plea for you guys today. Don't use these parameters of how to guard our mouth and how to guard our tongue, how to guard the way we interact with one another, and not to be fooled. Not to be sluggard, but to be men and women of God after God on heart. I'll turn it back over to Dr. Clay.
Amen. Anybody have any comments on Zoom? You're open as well as on line, the phone. Do I hear one?
I just said that was fire. That was fire.
Amen. Amen. I believe God was West Virginia. Amen.
I got mad notes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, sir. Sir, go ahead. You said you got mad?
No, I just said I got mad notes. I got a lot of notes from that. Thank you.
Mad notes. All right.
I'm, my God, you got me. I wasn't trying to
think.
You blame it on the Holy Ghost.
No, no, no.
Praise that. I love the
Proverbs. That was fire, man.
So many lessons. So many lessons. So much the words to live by and to conduct our lives. I was on a Zoom meeting, and there was a young person on there, a college student, and she was saying that she didn't know how to do some things and that she, you know, left home. She had never rented anything, you know, that she had to rent an apartment, never got utilities and didn't know about shopping or anything. And she says that she needs help adulting. And I thought about the Proverbs. Because, like they used to say, if you read a chapter of Proverbs a day for a month and then start all over again the next month, that you'll have all that you need in order to live life and live at its fullest. And I thought about Proverbs for this young lady. She says, I don't know how to adult. I don't know how to adult. There should be a class on adulting.
Yeah. My daughter is on the line. Taylor, she had her hand up to say something. She's in that same boat. Just went to college, second year, in her own apartment, but now she's got to cook. I'm not going to call. I'm going to let Taylor say what she was getting ready to say. She had her hand up.
Okay. Yeah. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
I wanted to say, Mom, that you did an amazing job. I also have mad notes. I definitely said that this was very, very great and insightful. I definitely learned a lot. I definitely have some things to apply to my life. I definitely have some things to look out for now, you know, to make sure that the people I'm with, you know, are who are called to be me. And I'm learning currently, as she said, not to use that friend word so lightly. And this, like, this is great for me, basically. I just want to say thank you for giving the word, because this is great.
I'll catch up to you later.
Can you hear me?
You can hear you. You're a little louder now.
All right, Brother Moderator, Sister Reverend Doctor, to the Speaker of the Hours, my sister, outstanding job.
Thank you.
And if I may address your daughter who's in college, my sister, let me say something to you about the mad notes you took. Sometime back, a couple of months back, my daughter was on this Zoom. I recommend that my daughter's not here tonight because she has class now at the 7 o'clock hour at Rutgers. I recommend to you that if you are not doing anything, put this on your schedule. Every Wednesday night, Blog Talk Radio. My daughter just listens. She doesn't say anything. And she takes notes. And she has told me, she said, Daddy, I don't get it all, and it helps me every week. You're going to need this. You're going to need the Lord in that school. Now, one thing I want to state, I say to all college students, I'm not going to tell you don't go to the sorority party. I'm not going to tell you not to go to the frat party because you're going. You're going. I'm not going to tell you that. You're going. I know you're going. But you tune into Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday at 7, and I guarantee you get something every week. And tell Sister a preacher the hour, you talk about the dogs. The reason why you don't grab a dog by the ears is because dogs have tons of nerves in their ears. And when you touch a dog's ear, it causes severe pain to them.
Oh.
That's why you don't touch the ears. Especially a dog you don't know. You may be able to get away with the personal dog. You might be able. So when you're going past something that's meddling, if none of your affair, you're causing pain to yourself. It's like pain to the dog's ear. God bless.
Amen. Thank you for the clarity. Thank you. I did not know that.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Anyone else? Anyone else like to make a comment? The mics are open as we come to a close. Amen. I'm going to assume that for those of you who are on, that you was fed and that you enjoyed the dinner that you received this evening. And I pray that, again, that as you heard the word, that you would not only just hear it, but you would be doers of the word. And that's really what it's all about. You know, we can hear. How can I say it? Not everybody can hear. Not everybody hears. You know, there's a lot of people that do a lot of talking, but don't listen. And that is a skill within itself. It's when you listen. Nowadays, people are quick to rattle off at the mouth and say what they have to say or to show what they know verbally. Be a good listener. And I guarantee you that it will take you a long way. When it comes to life, there are principles in life that we need to follow, and Proverbs is one of the key principles that we can follow, the Book of Wisdom. That's why they call it the Book of Wisdom. It teaches us, as the believers of Christ, how to live our lives. Amen? And, you know, if you don't have any challenges out there, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. And the only thing I can say is when you challenge, that's when the word comes in and helps us as believers to be overcomers. Amen. I'm going to ask one more time if there is anyone that would like to make a comment, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Suzanne if she would like to pray for the speaker, and then we're going to close for this evening. For those that are online, we can't hear you. I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Excuse me, I wanted to comment. I thought it was a very mighty word, the tongue, and it's been a useful tool to build people up and to spread the gospel. And you need to be careful about what you say and your actions, but we have to live that. Keep that in mind in everything we do. We just can't just say anything, and for every action there is a reaction. Consequences, and you have to be prepared to deal with the consequences. So you think about what you do before you do it, or what the consequences are. Are you willing to bear the consequences of your actions? And not every action is going to be positive. So anyway, you learn from that so that you don't allow negativity to repeat itself to cause you harm. But anyway, that comes from being spiritually rooted and the demonstration of love for other people. But you have to think more about other people than you think about yourself. Have a sense of kindness and love, as Jesus Christ demonstrated, because he gave his life for our sins.
Thank you so much for those comments. Thank you so much. And as we close, our next voice you hear will be Dr. Suzanne Taylor. We're going to continue to pray for you as you are going through school and you're going through some challenges time for school. But I just might tell you, I just want to like to say this to you, that you're going to run into challenges academically. And all I can say to you is just continue to press forward. God on your side, and continue to press forward. And the end will be sooner than you think. So we congratulate you for being in school, and we will be praying for your continued success. Dr. Suzanne.
Father God, we praise your name, dear Lord, and we thank you, dear Lord, for this time that we've had this evening, Father God, with our sister, Pastor Beasley. We thank you, Father God, that you would just bless her and keep her, Father God. People around her, Father God, speak life and speak blessings over her, Father God, that she would see tangible gifts, Father God, spiritual gifts, Father God, and blessings from all those around her, Father God. Send people around her, Father God, to keep her lifted up, Father God, keep her encouraged in ministry, Father God, increase her territory, Father. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the word that went forth this evening, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the interpretation, Father God, and the application, Father, in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Father God, I also want to lift up her children, Father.
Yes.
And her household, yes. Father God, that you would bless her. Bless her home. Sweet and safe and comfortable, Father God, and filled with the Holy Spirit in each and every room that she walks in, Father God, as she praises you, Father God, that she feels the spirit that she feels your spirit, Father God, in each and every room. We thank you, Father God, for Taylor, for Destiny, for Langston, for all those other teams that are affiliated with our ministry, Father God,
yes.
That you would bless them, Father God, as they go out and step out into this adult world, Father God, pursuing their education, looking towards their, moving towards a career, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you put a hedge of protection around them, Father God, that not one fiery dart of the enemy can get through and penetrate to get to them, Father God. We ask you, Lord, to open up their spiritual eyes and ears, Father God, so they'll be attuned to things in the supernatural, Father God, and know, Father God, that when they hear the Holy Spirit's voice, Father God, know how to operate and be respectful and obedient in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, that you would put saints around them, Father God, and guide them, Father God, to other believers, Father God, that they can associate with, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that they are protected, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that all the word that they've lived under, Father God, all the prayers that are going out for them, Father God, and all of the promises that have gone forth over them, Father God, that they come to fruition, Father God, and that you bless them.
Yes.
Bless them in Jesus' sweet and holy name. And Father God, also bless Pastor Beasley's congregation, Father
yes.
God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, baby.
Amen.
Amen.
Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Good evening.
Yeah. it's called.